Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Hallelujah. Amen. Indeed, He is the most blessed. Hallelujah. This afternoon, I just briefly want to share, for the sake of time, share a very familiar passage of scripture with us. Amen. In the morning, I read from Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, the verses 25 to 31, but this afternoon, I want to look at it from Luke's Gospel. So turn with me to Luke chapter 8, and let's read from verse 43. From verse 43 to 48. Luke chapter 8, 43 to 48. It says, "Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, 'Who touched me?' When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, 'Master, the multitude thrown and press you, and you say, who touched me?'" Verse 46, "But Jesus said, 'Somebody touched me, and I perceive power going out from me.' Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and fell down before him. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, 'Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well.'" May the Lord bless the public reading of his word. Amen. This afternoon, I just briefly want to look at the subject of the woman with the issue of blood, and we've all heard this sermon many times, or I've read this passage several times, so we are very familiar with the context in which it was written. But this shows us the tenacity of a woman's faith. You know, that despite what she had been through and what she was wrestling with, she still had the faith and the belief that if she could only touch the garment of Jesus, she will be healed. Amen. And this will resonate with many of us evangelicals and Pentecostals and charismatics, because we are those types who are what? Very zealous. We like to be violent, isn't it? If I can grab this, and we pray very forceful and things. This sort of depicts that kind of faith. But that is not the thing I want to address this afternoon. This afternoon, I want to look at this passage from a very different point of view. And I'm asking this afternoon, who touched Jesus? Because that was the question he asked. He said, "Who touched me? Who touched Jesus?" I just want us to look at this woman. You know, the Bible says that she said if only she could touch the hem of Jesus' garment, she would be healed. And I believe that she had heard about Jesus' reputation, because people's reputation always precedes them, isn't it? So I'm confident she had heard about the wonder-working power of Jesus. And she knew that his fame has spread throughout the whole earth. So she said, "If only I can touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole." But let's look at three things about this woman's condition. The first thing I noticed is that she had a great need. Her need was that she had an issue of blood for 12 years. She was losing blood. For those of us who have medical background, we know the significance of this. She will be very anemic, because losing blood is not something you put up with. You want to stop it, because your blood is your life. Life is in the blood. Amen. So for her to be losing blood for 12 good years, you can just imagine how weak and how lethargic she was. Couldn't do anything. Probably most of her organs in her body had shut down because she's lost so much blood. But that was not the only thing she was losing. Bible says that she had been to physician upon physician to no avail, which means that she was losing money as well. Because those days they didn't have the NHS. So she paid for all those appointments with the doctors. So she was losing blood and she was losing money. She had great need. And I believe that all of us in this room have one need or the other. But if you are here, you don't have a need, I would like to know your secret, please. I would like to know your secret. So just please see me at the end. And then when you share it with me, I'll share it with every one of us. We all have a need. And this woman had a need. But she said something. She said, if only I can get close to Jesus. So in spite of the obstacles, in spite of her weakness, in spite of her condition, she purposed in her heart to get close to Jesus. But her reason for getting close to Jesus was not because she wanted fellowship with Jesus. It was not because she wanted to get to know Jesus, but she wanted to be healed. And that was the reason why she wants to get close to Jesus. So I want to ask us this afternoon, what's your reason for coming to church? Why are you here this afternoon? Are you here because you want to grab of him, take of him, touch his garment? Or you are here because you want to have fellowship with him? You want to get closer to him. You want to know him more. And finally, this woman had an agenda. Her agenda was the fact that if only she can touch Jesus' garment, she will be made whole. Amen. But I want to look at the motive behind this woman's actions. Because motive is important. You know, sometimes people make this expression that it's a means to an end. Yet it might be a means to an end, but we need to understand the methodology in which things are done. Yes, you might have acquired some wealth, but how did you come by that wealth? How did you come by that wealth? Did you rob somebody at gunpoint? Or did you break into a bank? Yeah, you are now a millionaire, but how did you get your money? She's been healed, no doubt about it. Jesus even acknowledged that. But how did she go about it? And that's what I want us to look at. The first thing she did was that she secretly touched Jesus. She did that in secret. She said, if only I can place a demand on Jesus, I will be healed. You know, if you look at scripture, when people come to Jesus for their needs to be met, they announce it. Isn't it? They announce it like blind Bartimaeus. He said, Son of David, have mercy upon me. You know, Jairus came to Jesus and said, my daughter is not well. The centurion came and he said, my servant is not well. Please do something about it. When many a times people come to Jesus, they announce their needs. But for this woman, she didn't. She wanted to come secretly because she did not want others to know her business. So she came to Jesus without telling him about it. That was her motive. And the second thing she did was that she siphoned power from Jesus. She took something that did not belong to her. That power was Jesus. So if she needed to be healed, the least she could have said was, Son of man or Son of God, please heal me of this affliction. But she did not. She went ahead and touched Jesus' garment without his permission. I mean, how will you feel if a stranger walks in and just grabs or takes something that belongs to you without permission? You wouldn't be happy. But that is exactly what this woman did. She came and took something that did not belong to her. And it is not surprising she did that because desperate people always do desperate things. You know, if you're a parent here and your child is not well, you will move heaven and earth for them. And even as an individual, if you are not well and you know that there is a solution somewhere, you will do whatever it takes. Because you don't want to put up with it anymore. So she came and touched Jesus' garment. But the other sad truth about desperate people is this. Sometimes they are insensitive to the needs of other people. Because this incident was not the mainstay of this passage. The mainstay was a man called Jairus who came to Jesus and said, "My daughter is sick. Please come and heal her." So Jesus left his business and was going to Jairus' house. And this woman interrupted them. But Jairus was a man of patience, isn't it? He didn't say a thing. He just stood by and watched everything that was going on. And for Jesus to stop and ask that who touched me, it wasn't something that happened in a second or in the twinkle of an eye. It was a conversation that was going on. And conversations, as we all know, sometimes can be 5 minutes, can be an hour, it can be 24 hours. The Bible does not tell us, but what I want to say is that this did not happen instantly. It took time. And he said, "Who, somebody touched me?" And then Peter was like, "Master, are you serious? Look at the number of people around us. And you are asking, who touched you? I mean, what kind of question is this? Are you out of your mind? Everybody is touching you. We are even touching you." But this woman was insensitive to the needs of what? Of Jairus, who at first, I mean, for those of us that have healthcare background, assuming I'm a medical doctor, and Susan comes to me and says that, "Oh, my son is not well, this is the what he's got." And I pack my bag, you know, I take my stethoscope and everything, my drugs, and we are on our way to her house, you know? And then Sister Sophie interrupts and say, "Oh, I need your help." And then I end up treating her with the medication I'm going to treat Susan's son. I leave the son with nothing. How am I going to look after him? That is exactly what happened here. This woman was insensitive to the needs of Jairus. But the third thing she did was that as soon as she was healed, the Bible says that she withdrew and she was about to walk away. Without saying thank you. Without even acknowledging what had happened. Was she healed? Yes, she was. Because she knew. She knew she was healed. And she was just, you know, she wanted to come in secretly, grab, and secretly walk away. Have you ever met people like that in your life? I believe we can relate. There are people in life that all their motive is just to grab. Just take of you and take of you and take of you and leave you dry. And leave you what? And leave you dry. And they don't acknowledge also that you've blessed them. There are others that know for a fact that you have been a blessing to them. Even if you don't know that you've been a blessing to them. Instead of they acknowledging it, they wouldn't. Because after all, Susan has got a lot of money. So if she gives me 10 pounds, it's nothing to her. So why should I say thank you? You know, and the attitude with which they go about it. It means, I mean, 10 pounds is nothing to you. You've got 100,000 in your bank account. So what's the point? You know? But Jesus, I believe, the reason why he drew our attention to this was to remind us of the need to be grateful. The need to be what? To be grateful. The need to say thank you. We shouldn't silently come and grab and silently go. When somebody does something for you, when the Lord does something for you, please let's remember to do what? To acknowledge it and say thank you. Hallelujah. But at the same time, it will be sad that this event that took place, this great testimony of God healing somebody that has had an issue for 12 years will not be mentioned in scripture. Jesus did not want that to happen. That is why he stopped. And drew the attention of the disciples to it. Why? Because there are people in life. All they are interested in is to just what? Is to just take from you. So the purpose of my message this afternoon is, the first part anyway, is for us as Christians to be mindful of the things in life and the people in our life that are always siphoning from us, always taking from us. And leaving us dry. It could be relatives. It could be friends. It could even be your spouse or your children. Let us be mindful that there are people, all they are concerned about is not your welfare or your well-being. It's all about them. So far as they are okay and they've got what they want, they don't care about you. After all, I'm fine. So what is the point? And such people we need to be mindful of. Why? Because it will leave us dry and empty. Amen. Let's continue and let's look at the other side of this story, and that is to do with Jesus. So we now have seen what this woman did. She had a motive. Her motive was that she wanted to secretly touch Jesus, be healed, and secretly go away. But Jesus said, no, that's not the right attitude to have. You got to have an attitude of what? Of saying thank you when things are done for you. Hallelujah. But the next thing that the Bible teaches us is Jesus' attitude. And I believe that we see the personality of Jesus in this story. Because he asked a question. He said, who touched me? Somebody touched me. Which means that Jesus was human after all. Despite his divinity, despite the powers that he carried, he knew that something was going on. And the first thing I believe that we as Christians need to learn from this passage is self-awareness. You've got to be aware of yourself. You've got to be aware of your capabilities, aware of your talents and your giftings, aware of what God has called you to do, aware of what you can handle and what you cannot handle, because other than that, you will burn out. You will burn out. So for example, if I've got a 1.3 liter engine, which can only carry myself and my wife, and I decide to carry the whole church in that car, we will not get to the Medway Tunnel and it will break down. I've got to know what I can carry. Amen. And Jesus knew of his divinity and he knew of his humanity. And that is why he made sure that everything that he did and everywhere he worked in that awareness. Are you aware of yourself? You've got to be aware of yourself. Other than that, people will dump things on you and walk away because you are not aware of yourself. I can ask you to do something, and if you know that it's not within your competence and your remit, just say, no, I can't do it. There is nothing wrong with that. You know, if I know that, you know, Brother Sam is the person to go to for an advice with regards to something, let's say, for argument's sake, football. You know, because I know the team he supports, which I disagree, but we wouldn't go into that. You know, and then I send him a medical question or a medical need. What am I trying to do? You know, I just want to take from him. But he should learn what he's capable of doing. And say to me, oh, sorry, James, I can't help you in this. Let me refer you to, you know, Sister Christiana. She can help you because that is her area of expertise. And that is exactly what Jesus was trying to teach us in this passage. He was aware of who he was, that he was man and he was God. Are you aware of yourself? You need self-awareness. And then he had situational awareness as well. He was aware of what was going on. Many of us, we come to church and we are not even aware of our environment. You know, we are not aware of what is going on. But Uncle Isaac will tell you, when he's standing there, his eyes is all over 360 degrees. You know, he's not just listening to the sermon, but at the same time, he's making sure that no child is running through that door. You know, he's making sure that things are working behind the scenes. You've got to have situational awareness. Jesus said, somebody touched me. He knew he was walking in a multitude. He knew there was a crowd around him. But at the same time, when something happened to him, he was aware of it. And many a times as believers, we don't have situational awareness. And if you don't have an awareness of the environment in which you are, how then do you resolve issues when they arise? And when you are in the home, be aware of your environment, be aware of your children, the kind of conversation you are having, the kind of things that they will be eardropping on. Because children are very inquisitive. They are watching, they are observing, they are monitoring. And we've got to be aware. You are sitting here and you are thinking, oh, how did they hear about this thing that happened to me? Yeah, we know they are gossipers in town. But have you forgotten that instead of keeping your mouth shut, you always like to open your mouth? And if you open your mouth, somebody will do what? Will eardrop, pick the information, and before you realize, it's on the BBC. You've got to be aware. You've got to be aware of your environment. You know, so if I'm having a conversation with somebody and I know the sensitivity of that conversation, I need to be aware of my environment. You know, I can't just start a conversation here when I know the thing I'm about to talk about is private. We need to go somewhere exclusive because I don't want that information to go out. Jesus was aware of his environment. Let's be aware of our environment. And the last thing that he was aware of was the fact that he had spiritual awareness. You know, some of us charismatic or evangelicals, we take spirituality a bit too far. You know? Yes, Sister Clara is smiling so she can relate. Some people take spirituality too far. I'm not saying there is anything wrong with it. But you are at home and you see a cockroach on the roof and immediately you start speaking in tongues and binding it and giving the devil a hard time. That is not the kind of spiritual awareness I'm talking about. You know, or you go to the marketplace and you see an apple or a tomato that is out of shape and immediately you start casting and rebuking the demon. You know, that's not what I'm talking about. But the extreme is also possible, that there are people who do not have any spiritual awareness of anything. And things are happening in their life and they don't know what is going on. With Jesus had a balance of both. He had a spiritual awareness. He knew that his life was impacting others. At the same time, other people were impacting him. So that is why when that woman touched him, he knew virtue has gone out of him. And immediately he wanted to acknowledge who took that virtue. Because it wasn't a small virtue. It was a virtue enough to draw his attention to the power that has gone out of him. And because that power had got out of him, he wanted to know who it was. And immediately, he said to the woman, "Your faith has made you well." But I believe that this was more of a rebuke rather than an affirmation. Why? Because you remember when the centurion came to Jesus and said that my servant is sick. Just say the word because I'm not worthy for you to come to my house. Jesus said, "I've not found such faith." He didn't only heal, but he made a comment, "I've not found such faith." You know, and I believe that Jesus could have said the same thing about this woman if only she had acknowledged what had happened. But because she wanted to come in secretly and grab and secretly go, Jesus wanted her attention to be drawn to the fact that you can't do that. Hallelujah. So what is the motive of this preach this afternoon? I believe that there are some of us that God has done things for us and we've not acknowledged it. You know, you attend every prayer meeting in the world. And when God answers that prayer, then you disappear from the face of the earth. You go into hiding because you've got what you want. We don't see you at the prayer meetings anymore. We don't see you at church anymore because you've arrived. You might have arrived. You might have had your breakthrough, but it will not last. Because you have not shown an altar of gratitude for what God has done. Bible says that to him that little is given, much is expected. And if you are faithful in the little that God has given you, he will put you in charge of big. So that breakthrough might be tiny, like a mustard seed. But if you say, "Jesus, this is you, not me," he will open the door for the bigger one to come. Hallelujah. Jesus is teaching us that we need to be mindful of the things that take from us and not put back into us. Be mindful of your friends. There are some friends, when you are around them, you'll be depressed for the rest of your life. Because everything that comes from them is negative. They don't pour anything positive into you. And that is what Jesus is saying. Be mindful of things that drain you. Things that take from you and not give into you. And that is why Bible says that early in the morning, Jesus will go to a solitary place. Why? Because he knows that he's always giving. He's always giving and he can't run on empty. He needs to what? Refuel. He needs to refuel. And those of us that have siblings, those of us that come from homes that everybody is looking up to you because you are in what? You are in abroad. You are in abroad. You know, even that cousin, that relative you never know. You've never heard of. You never knew exists. Immediately they get to know that you are abroad, they will get your phone number. And they will be messaging you. Oh, my son needs to go to school. Oh, Uncle T is in hospital and this and that. And you'll be giving and giving and giving and giving and all your money will go. Let's be wise. Let's have an awareness of what is going on in our lives. Because that is exactly what Jesus did. He was aware of his capabilities. He was aware of situations he's in. And he had a spiritual awareness of everything that was going on around him as well. Hallelujah. So can I just invite the praise and worship team forward, please? We are going to sing this song as we prepare our hearts to take communion. Sorry, I should have announced this for those that are watching online. We are going to have communion. So please just grab your communion elements even as we are going to sing this song. But whilst preparing for this message, this song, so, song blessed me a lot. I know it's a song we all are very familiar with. But the words of the song means a lot. It means a lot because the Lord has done so much for us. And we cannot take it for granted. But at the same time, I want us, you know, during this time of communion, even as the elements are distributed, for us to spend time before God and ask Him to refuel us. You know, many of us have given and given. Maybe in your workplace, you are just giving, doing 12-hour shift, 12-hour shift, 12-hour shift. It's sucking. Say, God, please, refuel me, revitalize me. Maybe you are juggling work and studies. You are juggling childcare. You are juggling so many things. And it's all taken from you. Your energy is gone. But this afternoon, you want to come back to God and say, Lord Jesus, as I partake of your body and of your blood, please refuel me. Please restore me. Hallelujah. And maybe you are at a place where all you've been doing is just grabbing, just taking. You've been a taker rather than a giver. You see, what this story teaches me two kinds of people in this world. Those who give of themselves. That is Jesus, and those who take, and that is this woman. So which one are we? Are we givers, or are we takers? I will leave that for us to consider. Let's worship. Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah. Still in the spirit of worship, we're just going to thank God with this song. Hallelujah.
When I think upon your goodness and your faithfulness each day, I'm convinced it's not because I am worthy to receive the kind of love that you give. But I'm grateful for your mercy. And I'm grateful for your grace. And because of how you pour out yourself, I have come to sing this song out in praise. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. Oh, awesome God, mighty Creator. We thank you, Lord. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, God. Who am I, Lord? Am am I to worship you, Lord? I to worship you. Yeah. It's your blood that makes the difference in me and made a way. A way to enter into your throne. I could not contain your presence. Oh, I could never sing your song. Yeah, but the sacrifice on Calvary's tree is the reason. Reason I can cry out to say, Imela, 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 Okaka, Okaka, Oyeke, oh, Imela, 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 thank you, Lord, awesome God, mighty Creator. We thank you, we thank you, God, my King. Imela, oh, Ezemore, Ezemore.
Bible says that the night that Jesus was betrayed, he had gathered with his disciples in the upper room, so to speak. And he took the bread and he broke it and gave thanks and he said, this is my body that is broken. I'm giving it freely with my own volition, with my own accord for you. And in the same way, he took the cup and he says that, this is the cup of the new covenant, which is going to be rectified by my precious blood. As often as you take and eat and drink of this, you are doing this in remembrance of me. This afternoon, I want you to remember that when Jesus was hanged on the cross, he had you in mind. He had your name written all over him. The pain and the agony that he was going through was for you. It wasn't for the world. He did it for the world as well. But I want you to personalize it today. He had you in mind. You are not insignificant. You are not just part of a number. You are not just making him feel okay because of what he did. But he had you in mind. He had you in mind. So Father, this afternoon we want to thank you. We want to thank you that when that grain of wheat fell to the ground on that eventful day at Golgotha, your hands, Lord, you knew that I was the apple of your eye, so you were willing and ready to do anything for me. We are grateful. For that reason, we have come to give you thanks this afternoon. And Lord, you said as often as we do this, we should do this in remembrance of you, Lord. Lord, this is not about us. This is not about a church. It's not about a faith, a denomination, but this is about you, the Son of the living God, the one in whom the presence. So Lord, as we partake of your body this afternoon, we call for the abundant life of God to be manifested in every area of our lives. the shadows, no more living substandard lifestyle. We are going to live the abundant life that Jesus purchased for us at Calvary. Lord, we are not going to live from one paycheck to the other. We are not going to scratch our head and wonder when the next meal or breakthrough is going to come from, because we are calling for and we are drawing on the abundance of this element. Lord, many of us have given. We are grateful for what we have given. But in the name of Jesus, I pray that our story will be different from today. Our story will change today. In the name of Jesus, everything that has gone out of us, Lord, may you restore in thousandfolds. May you restore in hundredfolds. Those who came with the motive to run us dry, Lord, may they behold us now and be perplexed and wonder at the amazement of God's turnaround in our lives, in Jesus' name. Every scheme of the evil one that came to siphon from us secretly, we banish you in the name of Jesus. Every avenue, every door opening in our life that the enemy has crept in, we seal it with the blood this afternoon. And we declare no more, no more, no more in the name of Jesus. I declare, Father, oh God, that there will be a return for our wages. There will be a return for our investment. I declare in the name of Jesus that, Lord God Almighty, as we partake of your blood this afternoon, we thank you that we are in the new covenant. Oh, we are under a new covenant. Bible says that we are seated with Christ Jesus in heavenly places, high above principalities and powers and dominions, Lord. I thank you that we are walking in a place of elevation. We are walking in a place of upliftment. We are walking in a place, oh God, high above all our detractors, even in Jesus' name. So Lord, we thank you for your body. And we thank you for your blood that has been given to us this afternoon. Lord, we are reminded of the miracle of this story. That Father, a woman who had an issue that has lasted for so long, at the touch of Jesus, was made whole. Just one touch, Lord. That is all it takes. Just one touch. So Lord, even as your body, symbolized by this wafer, and even as your blood, symbolized by this drink, enters our body, that is the one touch that we require of you today. And we thank you that it will bring an end to any issue that have persisted in our life for so long. In the name of Jesus, every protracted issue will stop henceforth, in Jesus' name. There will be an answer to that which has given us a wonderful name of your Son Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So the body of Christ.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055. +233 26 767 6055. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.